chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Appreciate that special night. I'm glad that only once upon a cross. Didn't have to go back, doesn't have to go back. Once and for all, and he was done and for us. And I do want to say a couple things. Glad to see Abby and Caleb back with us tonight. And I was hoping they were coming back. And on another good news tonight, we signed on the house, and it's done. We have locks on the gates, and me and Pastor got to walk the house today, and the house is in bad shape. Just want to let you know, we almost died a couple times. I walked in there in my suit. If you notice, I have mud and stuff on my shoes. You military men, I usually polish my shoes up, but I just realized when I sat down, and I got mud everywhere, and I got spider webs, and there's no telling what else. I'm itching everywhere. I don't know what that means either, but I can't believe somebody lived in that house. I mean, there's a hole this big in the upstairs. I mean, I was looking at the sky today, and snake skins everywhere. So, but anyway, I'm glad it's ours. But there are some goodies in there. If you need any kind of clothing, please let me know. They left it. Looks like somebody just walked away from it. And there's some good stuff over there. Y'all pray. We're hoping there's going to be. We found one antique already. I can't tell you what it is. That way none of y'all go over and steal this stuff. I do want to let you know we do have security over there. And traps set everywhere. And snipers. So and snakes and rats. But we're hoping that when we begin to tear that house down that we find an antique coin that's $125,000. And we'll just pay that property off right then and there. And then in another place, I hope we find something else that's worth to pay the rest of this campus off. Amen. Wouldn't that be? Hey, God can do it. Who would have ever thought when they bought this property many years ago there would have been gas rights to this property and all the money that came from the gas rights that's on this property. God can do anything, my friends. And so trust me, we've been looking hard already today, and I only spent 30 minutes over there. I'm going back over there tomorrow. The one thing I found that was interesting was tools. So there's a lot of things over there. So pray about that if you would. We'll be getting it cleaned up. And by the way, there's some beautiful trees on that property. To be in Hazlet, there are some beautiful trees in the backyard of that property. So we're going to leave those, and it'll be a nice little thing. Sunday I preached on Baptist distinctives, and did we put those out, babe? I actually made a copy of Brother Stewart's. He is distinctly Baptist. He's dyslexic. So he says it backwards, but it's Baptist distinctives, and he gives 12 and all the scripture to it. So if you're interested in more information on what I preached on Sunday morning, those are back there, and you're welcome to take those, and I hope that they'll be a help to you. I heard a lot of good things. We only had a couple people mad, so that's always good. Moving on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and see what the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." But notice what he says. Now I'm going to give you the explanation here. It's a little different verses. But he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now we've been preaching a series on work on your casting. So here's verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, when you read verses 1 and 2, it can kind of be like, what in the world is he talking about? But here, apparently what Paul is talking about is that there was some division among the church at Corinth. And the division was that some thought that when Paul was writing a letter, he was being very bold. And then when they saw him in person, that he was kind of being two-faced. They thought when they saw him in person, well, he wasn't that bold. And so what was happening here is that really and truly, Paul manifests really the characteristics of Christ. And that's what he's saying in verse 1. He says, I come with you, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Yeah, Christ was meek and gentle, but he was also bold. And he spoke what was on his heart from his Father. And so really Paul was saying, hey, and by the way, in verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh. In other words, Paul said, I walk in the flesh. He says, but I do not war after the flesh. In other words, whenever I have a battle and things like that, I don't war at those things. And we'll get into that here in a minute. And so he begins to say that, hey, yeah, I have the same battles. I am a man, but I am also an apostle. He is proving to them that he is the apostle Paul and that he has the right to speak to them in the matter that he speaks to them. Why? Because he is revealing revelation to them from God. That was his job as an apostle. He was revealing revelation to them from God. And so I want you to see that in these scriptures here, we're going to look at really verses 4 and 5 tonight. But he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says, casting down imaginations. And we'll talk about those things tonight. Father, we love you. And Lord, tonight I need your help. I need your power. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would just take control of this service. And Lord, I thank you for the music tonight. Thank you for the old songs that we have to sing that, Lord, have true meaning and biblical, scripture that are connected to those songs that we sing. And thank you for, God, just a church that we can come to on a Wednesday night. And Father, I pray you bless each and every one. Lord, I know many of these have come straight from work, and I thank you for that. I ask that you would bless them for that, God. But God, tonight, if we come here, and we open up our Bible and we don't hear from you, Lord, it's all been in vain. And so, God, I'm begging for you to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, use us now. We ask you to have the preeminence in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things tonight. Number one, we're going to talk about spiritual weapons. In verse 4, he mentions that. He mentions that our weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. In other words, if they're not carnal, guess what they are? They're spiritual. There's only two things mentioned in the scripture. There's things that are carnal and there's things that are spiritual. Carnality speaks of the old man. It speaks of this flesh. This flesh is carnal. In other words, it's going to be one day done away with. It's going to be burned up and cast out. But we see the inner man, which comes the spiritualness. We see that Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why is this? Because they are spiritual. We have weapons as a Christian. By the way, God has given us every weapon we need to be spiritual people. God wouldn't just save you and say, well, I hope they turn out well. By the way, that's not what we do with our kids, I hope. God's given us kids. Well, I don't know what to do with these kids. I hope they turn out all right. No, what do? We invest ourselves in them. We try to give them every opportunity and every available weapon that we can that they can be good citizens and good Christians and all these things. Well, God, as much as we can give to our kids, we can't give what God has given us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us help. And He's given us the preaching of His Word. And so the spiritual weapons that we have. Notice what happens in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You know this verse. He says, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even divine asunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, here's what we use as a weapon in the fight against the mind. We use the Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon tonight. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is what pierces through our minds. And the problem with America today is not a problem of voting. It's a lack of this. It's a lack of this everywhere. You take this out of schools and you have the school systems you have today. You take it out of churches and you have the churches that you have today. You take it out of the home and you have the homes that you have today. And we want to turn our fist up at God and God say, hey, I gave you everything you need to be a successful nation according to God, not according to man's rule. But we have what we need, and that is the Word of God. Also, he told us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, he said, you can put on the helmet of salvation and you can take the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because you got to protect your mind. And how are we going to go after the enemy? Through the Word of God. The spiritual weapons. God has given us every weapon that we need tonight. You say, well, I don't know if I can overcome that. Yes, you can. Not through your flesh. And Paul's going to get in here in just a minute. What was happening is that we have too much earthly thinking. You know the most dangerous thing that happens to me and you? Or let me say it this way. You know the most dangerous statement you can ever hear from somebody? Here it is. I've been thinking. Let me sit down, you know. Because usually what comes after that is usually never, hey, I've been thinking, I wanted to give you $1,000. It's usually thinking that, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. We should leave the thinking up to God, right? And be careful what we think. But notice what he says. Let's look at the second thing. Not only do we see really the spiritual warfare, but now we see the strongholds. He says, but are mighty of, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what are these strongholds? Well, he's going to tell us what they are. But all of us have strongholds in our life. And sometimes the strongholds in our life is this right here. And by the way, just because we get to the Scripture, we think the Scripture is only used in case we have bad thoughts. But you know what? It's more than that. You see, we can have wrong thoughts toward God. We can have wrong thoughts toward ourselves. In other words, we can think God is not enough, and we can think we're too much. And then we can have wrong thoughts toward each other. See, that's the problem in the world today. We have wrong thoughts toward each other. Our world is so divided. There's really only one division in the world. It's not Democrat and Republican. It's saved and lost. And that's where our world is today. It's not white, black. It's not Hispanic and this and that. It's saved and not saved. It's born again and not born again. It's flesh versus the spirit. And that's the war that we see in our society today. But the strongholds that we have in our life. Now, he says, notice in verse 5, he tells us what they are. He says, here they are. Casting down, number one, the imaginations. Now, I looked up the word imaginations. In the Greek, here's what it means. The Greek word is, all right, that's the Greek word. But it means a reckoning or a reasoning. But here's what it means. You can look it up yourself. This is what it means. Hostile to the Christian faith. Something, imagination that is hostile toward the Christian faith. Here's what he's saying. You've got to cast down what you think about God that is wrong, and what you think about yourself that is wrong, and what you think about others that is wrong. Those wrong imaginations. Listen, we can bring God from here to here just like that in our mind. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to speak freely tonight because I've gotten to where I just don't care. Not what you think, but I just don't care anymore. Because people think, well, preachers are, we got to put them up on the pedestal. Please don't put me up on a pedestal. People kick those pedestals out from under us all the time. I'm just like you. And sometimes, in my mind, I bring God from here to here. Don't look at me like you've never said, I don't think God's going to do anything on this one. Hello? You say, well, I've never said that, but you thought it. You know what Jesus says about thinking it? You've done it. Hello? I tell people all the time, I've not killed anybody. Physically. But there's been a lot of murders go on up here. Don't look at me weird. They're usually in front of you on 156 going 2 mile an hour. Hello. You know, if your horn was a missile launcher, there'd be a lot of people dead, wouldn't it? And some of y'all picture that. When you honk that horn, you're like, you know? You say, you think that way? If you don't think that way, you haven't lived here long enough. Somebody give me a witness right there. You say, I don't want to kill them. I just want to poke their tires out or something. I don't know. Get out of the way. But here's the problem in talking about strongholds in the imagination is that if we're not careful, our imagination can run away from God. That's my problem. Is that you ever go being honest again? You ever spend time thinking about something that matters to nothing? And then you go, glad I got that figured out up in my head. I don't know why, but you know. I mean, you're thinking, oh man, I sit in places. Now, the bad part about being up in my brain, by the way, you wouldn't want to be up there. Whew, man, that's a bad place. But my problem, my wife can tell you, my problem with my mind, I want to fix everything. I sit around thinking, I'm not talking about even spiritual things. I'm just talking about I sit in the waiting room and see 6 things broken. I'm thinking, I could fix that. Usually it ends with, I could weld that. And then I think about, boy, just that quick, your mind can just go. the imagination. And it has that prone to wander. And by the way, if we're not careful, our actions will follow our imaginations. What we think about and what we meditate on. And that's why you have to be careful in some of this stuff today, wanting you to meditate on these things and meditate. Hey, you ought to think on the Lord Jesus Christ and on Him only. I believe the imagination is a place of danger. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? It was darkened. It started up here, and then what happened is that it moved to the heart. They had the wrong thought of God. Notice what it says again. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, yeah, they knew God, they had knowledge of God, but they did not glorify God. In other words, they did not put Him where He belongs in their mind. You say, do you think a generation could ever just be totally evil-minded? Oh, let me read you the scripture. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Before the big boat came and the worldwide flood, the Bible says, as you know the scripture, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart were only what? Evil continually. In other words, what can I do that is wrong? What can I do that is wrong? What can I do that is wrong? Guess what happens? And by the way, that's why we have to train our kids. That's why we have to teach our kids. Why? Because if not, they'll begin to think what they want to do is all wrong. What they think are all wrong, and they think wrong thoughts. And before long, their feet are going to those wrong thoughts. You have to give your kid, and that's why it's so important. Listen to me. Don't get mad at me, but that is so important, the music that you listen to in your homes, because it affects the way your kids think. If you listen to songs of divorce and leave your wife and cheat on your wife and do all these things, guess what? Your kids are going to listen to that long enough, they're going to do it. I thought I'd get one amen on that one. You said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't get on our music. You watch enough television, that causes our minds to think wrong. Our minds are so captivated today, our imagination. By the way, Bailey watches Barney all the time, and so we subconsciously watch it with her. I can sing every Barney song. But one of Barney's biggest things is imagination, right? I mean, I've listened to it so long, I've become Barney. But you know, there's a song on there, you know, imagination. I mean, y'all want me to keep doing it? Some of y'all are liking it. Somebody go get me a purple suit, you know? You know? I love you. You know, I hear that. I mean, it's in there. I don't even watch the mess, and it still is in my head. And you know what? The big thing about Barney is for kids to imagine that he is there. Now you say, is Barney wrong? I'm not saying that Barney's wrong, but I am saying is that we occupy our mind pretending that something is there and something is part of our life, and we're not thinking on Him. You know what I sit around thinking about? Well, besides food. But still, same concept. I always think of what I don't have. You ever do that? Man, if I had that. Whoa. If I had that truck. If I had that house, if I had that wife, or if I had that husband, or if I had that dog, or if I had that shovel, I had that backhoe, and then my imagination goes to farming equipment. If I had that backhoe, if I had that bobcat, if I had that excavator. If we're not careful, then we'll look at what we have and we won't be thankful, because in our mind, we have thought our way out of thankfulness. The imagination. Listen tonight, what he goes on to say. Notice in the next part of the verse, he says, the casting down. You know what I tell myself every time before I get up here? Wiggins, be serious. Don't joke around. I've already failed. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. But notice what he says. And every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. In other words, we have to be careful with what we're thinking in our mind, that we have to make sure that our thoughts of other things are not above God. Why? Because God should always be number one. He begged us, He said, that I might have the preeminence. And He wants us to be, our thoughts to be of Him and of His work and of His Word and of His Son. And guess what happens in our mind is that things exalt itself above God all the time. You lay down in that bed long enough and think about staying home, guess what you're going to do on Sunday morning? You're going to stay home. You know what you just did? You exalted something above God. Instead of getting up and reading your Bible and praying and doing those things, and you begin to think, well, I've really got to get this done. And you know what you've done? You've exalted something above God. He says, casting down those imaginations and every high thing, not some high things, but every high thing. Listen, my wife cannot be above God. My children cannot be above God. My work cannot be above God. My hobbies cannot be above God. Why? Because that becomes an idol. We got to pull them down. We got to cast them out and let God have those things out of our life. And listen, we have to be very, very careful with our thoughts. I wrote this down. I thought it was good because it spoke to me. The devil may not can take God out of your life, but he can take God out of first place and out of your mind. You see, the devil can't come and take God out of your life because we are in Christ, right? We're saved. But he can come and take God out of first place and out of your mind. You know what happens to us sometimes? We go through the week and all of a sudden we go, oh, I forgot about... You know what? We can forget about God. You say, I'd never forget about Him. How many of us thank Him for everything every day? By the way, we couldn't sit down and thank Him for enough for what He's done today. Most of you drove here and didn't get in an accident. Man, praise God for that. Most of you got, you know, your health's great. You're here tonight. Man, praise God for that. I mean, we could go through a long list of things. But we can take time in our life and allow our minds to get so captivated by other things that God is a distant thought in our life. And by the way, I'm not pointing my fingers at you tonight. I'm talking about me tonight also. You ever get fixated on stuff? I don't know what yours is. I ain't going to tell you all of mine. I already told you too much of my life. Most of y'all won't come back to church again, but... You know, I get fixated on certain stuff. It's usually not too bad because the greatest way to get fixated on stuff is don't have money. Then you're like, I can't have that anyway, so why am I even thinking about it, right? I think about stuff sometimes and I'm like, why am I wasting my brain cells on that when I could be thinking of the one who loves me tonight? The one who gave His Son to die on the cross for me. I spent too much time thinking about the election and not about God. At the end of the day, God's in control. And folks, we must put our thoughts back on God. I want you to notice the last part of this verse tonight. He says, casting down imagination every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. But that was the strongholds, but now we're going to see the securing of the mind. He tells us how to secure the mind. He says, bringing into captivity every thought to what? To the obedience of Christ. So God's not only showing us here the strongholds, but here's how you can secure your mind. When those thoughts come in there, listen, there is not one person in here tonight that's going to walk away here and say, I'm never going to have a bad thought. You're going to get out that door, get in your car and go, having a good day, good thoughts. Hold my soul. That light has been green like 2 seconds. Boom, all of a sudden, that bad thought comes in, right? You know? Or you see somebody, or you do something, or something happens, but none of us tonight can stop bad thoughts from coming in. If you figure that out, please let me know. It's called put you in a cryo sleep. That's called freeze you. And you sleep, and I don't know, you probably, even when I sleep at night, the mind's crazy. That thing's crazy up there. Be careful. But how do you secure it? Well, here's how you do it. When those thoughts come in, you don't let them captivate you. You captivate them. That's what he tells us. Bringing into captivity. That word captivity and talking about how to secure something is to arrest it. is to, in other words, when it comes in, don't let it grow, don't let it fester, don't let it mature. You stop it immediately and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Say, listen, oh man, hey, listen, it happens to all of us. Our pastor used to say, listen, boys, you better be careful. He'd tell us all this preacher, boy. He said, guys, it's not the people of the church, it's not the things of the church that are going to ruin you, it's going to be your mind. And of course, we're going. He said, there's only one way to stop it. We're on the edge of our seat. And he said, when it comes here, get rid of it. Just like that. I can't stop bad thoughts from coming into my head necessarily. But I can stop them from causing action to my body. Hello? You see, some of us, the problem is that we enjoy thoughts too much. And when that comes in, and when we don't have a spiritual walk with the Lord, and when we are not reading the Word of God, when those thoughts come in, we're like, never thought of that. And then we start thinking on it. The old devil just comes in. By the way, he works through thoughts. That's why he throws things up. By the way, long before Eve ever went and plucked that fruit from that tree, she thought about it. I wonder if God did really mean that we would die. That's what the devil's trying to get doubt in her mind. And how he works down through the through time, working in people's minds. Listen, we can set a trap in our mind for all carnal thoughts, and when it falls into that trap, we give it over to God and say, I'm not going to let this fester in my head. Be careful hanging around people that feed thoughts. It's fixing to get good right here. I'm going to pick on somebody. It's got to be somebody. Who can I pick on? I'll pick on myself. The best person I know of. He don't get mad. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. So I'm going to do that. I tell you what, that Brother Wiggins is preaching. Would you agree his preaching just, he's too crazy. Well, I've never thought about that. Hello? Hello? You know, I saw him the other day, and he wasn't kind to me. That probably was true, but I was trying to get my order at Sonic. Y'all leave me alone. But or something, but you know what? Some things we never think about, somebody else can put that thought in our little seed in our mind. Oh, man, I knew it. Did you see those two together the other day? I think something's happening there. And you in your life have never thought about that one day of your life, but because of that, you'll go home and you'll go, that can't be true. By the end of the night, you'll be going, that could be true. Because you know what? Now I remember seeing them too. We can start making things up in our mind. There again, I'm being transparent. Me and my wife don't ever have fights, but... We'll have a little contest between each other. And it's so funny because I walk away. You know what I start doing? I get madder. People say you need to take time and think about it. No, don't take that advice. That's the devil's advice. You're going to get worse. I start making stuff up now. And my wife, she's the smarter one of the bunch, as most of y'all all know. She'll come to me and say, why are you mad at me? I'm like, all right, I'm fixing to lay it out. I'm going to write them down. Here they are, number one. Number one. What was number one? You was mean to me. She's like, well, why are you mad at me? And I'm like, I've got a whole list of things. In my mind, I've got them, but I go to write them down. I know Brother Crawford gives this advice. That when you and your spouses are feuding, write down why you're mad at each other. Usually that stops it. Because you can't think of it. Well, I don't know why I'm mad at her, really. It's because you just started making stuff up in your mind. And then when you do have that one thing, you feel like, oh man, I got her. This is why I'm mad at you. She's like, babe, that wasn't even this time. Oh yeah. Guys, what do? Please forgive me. You know, I mean, you beg for forgiveness because you've been an idiot, right? because you've made things up in your mind. Your mind takes control, and what happens, it causes action in our life. And sometimes we feud at church people. Because we're mad at somebody, then we think about, why are we really mad at them? It wasn't what they did, it was what we thought they did. I've seen people leave churches before. Mad as a hornet, leave the church, go visit them, say, hey, we wanted to find out why, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what, we heard this about this church, and we heard that this was happening at this church. I'm going, what? You must be thinking about another church. I heard this about your pastor. And that was me. No, that's not us. Oh, well, I heard that from someone. Nobody ever gives you their source either. It's almost like a confidential informant. You know, they're called people that don't exist. They're called, it was a thought. You know what? If I sit around my house all day and think about how much I love Miss Linda Smith, that's the kind of thoughts I ought to have. How much I love Miss Elaine Block. How much I love Miss Vicki Griffin. How much I love the Fieslers and the Watts and Brother Ivy a little bit. You know what? When I come to church, I'll be glad to see them. Now, I can have bad thoughts about people, but I'd rather have great thoughts about them. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. He tells us to renew, by Romans 12:2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, well, how do we renew? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for this cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed by day by day. How are we renewed? The old man's going to perish. But the inward man, what is that? The spiritual man. That's how we get renewed, is by the spiritual man. Well, how do you feed the spiritual man? How do you renew him? By the Word of God. It's like plugging yourself up into an outlet and charging a battery on a vehicle or something. It is recharging yourself. It's the renewing of your mind. He says in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says in Colossians 3:10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed after the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. In other words, we are renewed by the inward man, by the Spirit of God, by the reading of the Word of God in our life. Philippians 4:8 says this, and I'm done. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, what would our world be like if all of our thoughts were good thoughts? Remember as a child, my mom put me to bed. She'd come in there and, of course, tuck you in, whatever she called it. I never got tucked in, you know. You tucked yourself in. But my mom would always lean over and say, kiss me on the head, love you. Have good thoughts. Have good dreams. And I thought about that today. I was thinking, you know what? That's the wish of our Father. That our thoughts would be good thoughts. When we think of God, and when we think of ourselves, and when we think of others, good thoughts. When we think of God and how high and lofty He is, but how loving He is toward us, how gracious He is toward us, and then when we think about ourselves that we're nothing without Him, and that when we think of others, we should think of them as Christ thought of them, and think of them as souls that are either dying, going to hell, or brothers and sisters in Christ who need us to help them and to encourage them and to give them words of compassion. Listen, our world's messed up enough. Wouldn't it be good if we went out in the world and we were different? How are we going to be different? To think on these things, the good things, the things of God. And our minds are not corrupt like this world. By the way, the mind can get so bad for a lost person that God said He'd give them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, they can't turn back. Mind goes, and so goes the mind, so goes the body. We must be careful with this mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Tonight, I don't know what your strongholds are. Mine are different than yours, probably. But we all have strongholds in our life. And God said the only way you're going to get rid of those strongholds is by not carnal weapons. See, the church at Corinth, and I really didn't give you a lot of the history of the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was thinking too much. By the way, they thought too much of man-made religion too, and how they could accomplish things, and how they could do things instead of allowing God to be God, and allowing to take Paul's direction and say, and Paul's correction, and say, this is, we do it according to the Word of God. We do it according to the revelation of God. And sometimes we can think, boy, you know what? God's taking His time on giving me direction. I think I got a thought that what I can do. Be careful with that. Because usually that steps over a cliff somewhere. We should allow God to control our thoughts. You say, I want to test it. Get on 35 and drive from Sanger to Burleson. If you pass the test, God bless you. Amen. But really, it is coming to church and seeing how our mind is. And saying, I'm ready. I'm thinking on Him. I'm thinking nothing above Him. Anything that tries to get in my life that exalts itself against the Lord God, I'm going to bring it into captivity. I'm going to secure my mind through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. Father, I sure needed this tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just guard our mind. Lord, help us to have that discerner of our thoughts, Your Word, tonight that would help us. And Father, I pray that You would give us the mind of Your Son, Jesus Christ, as You said in Your Scripture. And Father, that is a mind of humility, a mind of service. And Father, we ask that You would help us tonight. Be with our minds. And Lord, help us not to put other things before You, God, in action or in thought. And Father, tonight, whatever a stronghold is for somebody tonight, Lord, I know You're greater than that. I know You can help them with that, Father. And Lord, we know it may be a slow process. It may be take some time in prayer and reading and or just fortifying that mind. But Lord, I know You can do it. Lord, and I ask that You help us now. We ask You to bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 163, only trust Him tonight. If you need to come tonight, maybe just come and lay those strongholds down. Ask God to be with your mind. Whatever the case is tonight, you can come. 163.